Summer is just around the corner, and I could not be more excited. Those warmer, sunnier days are calling, so fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to their menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals, which is so helpful for me, especially during those busy summer months. As you know, my mom and I, or at least me, are not great in the kitchen. I need to have things that are easy to cook and delicious and healthy, so Factor checks all those boxes for me. Make today the day you kickstart a healthy new routine. So what are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. And treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. You can choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced. Factor truly has it all. So head to factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 and use barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code barbknowsbest50 at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hi, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. I am your co-host, Michelle Maros, and I'm so excited to be sitting here yet again with my mom, Barb. And we are gearing up for another life-altering conversation about life and its issues and its challenges. And I think we have a good one today. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle. We have a great one today. I'm excited to be here.
How's it going being you today?
It's great. How about you?
I'm well.
Good. Yeah, I'm excited about this topic because it's been up for me a lot. You and I've talked about it a lot. And it's kind of just been, I think it feels to me like it's also been in the energy of a lot of people today. It feels like life is, obviously we know life is difficult, but it just feels like there's a lot of impatience and a lot of, for lack of a better word, anger.
Well, yeah.
Irritability and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm excited to talk with you today, Michelle.
Me too, Mom. I am mostly excited because I've been wanting to have an episode about this for, I guess, since the start of the show. And you've always pushed me off. You said, I'm not ready. Not yet. Not now. I have some ideas. My thoughts aren't fully, you know, flushed out on this topic. Not yet. I'm still going through it. Not yet. Not yet. And lucky me, walked into today's show not knowing what we wanted to talk about. And we were going to have a little chat about it. And you presented it to me as a gift.
I
actually do always love when you have a topic you want to talk about. And so I am thrilled to start the conversation about this today. I do believe this will be a multi-episode conversation, so get ready for that. But I'm just thrilled because all of the things that you were saying off mic, I wish I had the record button on for the show. So hopefully you can just remember everything that you just told me because today we're going to be talking about forgiveness.
Yes. And you have been talking about this for a very long time. And we talk about it often, you know, as we say all the time, all of the things that we share are our own personal experiences. So there are times when we come together to record and we've been talking about so many things that we're not quite sure which one of the things that we've been talking about or feeling are we going to actually record. And so today I think it was kind of fun because, you know, we've been talking about forgiveness and you've wanted to do this since day one. And you're right. I thought I would give you a little gift because I have a lot to say about it. And I have a lot of interesting experiences that I've been feeling about it as a result of my divorce, which all of you who are listening, you know that I've been through a 33 plus year divorce. And I have a lot to share on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of new, I've had some new experiences that I think feel more aligned
mm-hmm.
that I really want to share with everyone.
I was going to say, what's exciting for me about this today is you have, and you've explained to me, and I agree with them, a lot of different takes on forgiveness than maybe we've even talked about in past workshops or blogs or, you know, other things, you know, that we've talked about forgiveness. I've written about forgiveness a lot, and that's why I was always jonesing to talk about it because it's such a often talked about and requested topic. It's a practice that is pushed upon us as a gateway to freedom and letting go. And it's really, really, really hard. It's a struggle. And you have some interesting thoughts about it.
It's a gateway to freedom, letting go, and happiness. We tie a lot of things to forgiveness in life because, let's face it, we all will have some relationship experience that we have to forgive. It's just, I think it's the nature of life. It's the nature of relationships. It's difficult. It's hard. You know, things happen, and oftentimes things happen, you know, that are not great, you know, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying that pretty mildly, but we have some pretty traumatic, very, very, very difficult things that we have to navigate in life. And so the idea of forgiveness is always front and center, I think, for most people in life. And from what I feel like most of the comments that I get on the things that I post on social media about forgiveness are, first of all, how do you do it? And second of all, why? You know, people, I think, understand the concept that we have to forgive because that's what we always say. That's what society always says. That's what we always say. All the greatest teachers say it. And I do agree at some point we have to get to a place of peace and settling into the fact of the way things are. But I think there's kind of a misunderstanding, I think, about forgiveness in many ways. And so today I hope that we can unpack some of those misunderstandings. And my whole desire for this episode is that people will walk away, that all of you listening will walk away with a deeper understanding of forgiveness, but also a deeper kindness and forgiveness and grace for yourself. Because I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to forgive, especially if your intention is to be a kind, good, loving human being, finding that sense of success and peace and love in life and wanting to learn and grow from all of the experiences that we have and be that person that you've always thought of yourself as being, you know, from the inside out. So we all have, I think, listening to this podcast for all these years that you may have been listening to it, have this sense of we all desire to be the best version of who we already are.
Right.
And forgiveness is always you know, linked to that and a part of that. So I hope that we can unravel a little bit what that actually means.
Exactly. And what was interesting about this conversation and this topic for me chatting with you is we can both agree that the idea that forgiveness as a practice in our healing journeys is an essential one. And in all of my studying, and I think in a lot of your studying and just all the stuff that's out there in the world about the topic of forgiveness, it almost feels like it's pushed upon you as a something you got to do immediately so that you can move on, because you have to move on fast and you just have to let it go because your life is precious and your time is valuable. And why do you want to hold on to something like that or hold on to your past and let it keep affecting your present and your future, which is valid. But what's interesting for me and you is I've always felt that way. And that's why I kept saying, let's talk about forgiveness. But I think when in the lens of and through the lens of your divorce, this brought up a lot of feelings for you about the practice that I don't necessarily know that you'd ever experienced before. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, but you're like, Michelle, with what's going on with me right now, what used to work for forgiveness isn't working. It's not aligning for me. I can't get there. And so I'm not able to talk about it because something's not right for me. And so I think there's something really interesting that happens when life presents you such a challenging, layered, complicated, traumatic situation, and we place upon it our ideas of forgiveness. Like, what do we do when they don't add up or they don't align? And you feel almost like you're stuck in this place of like, absolutely not. There's no way I could ever forgive this. But I know, and I've been told that it's something that I have to do. Where do you go? And I think that's what I'm excited to chat about today, because I think that happens for a lot of people. And how do you proceed when you're in that middle space of desiring to be free? I know freedom is your thing. You've talked about that all the time, but you are not ready to enter into the forgiveness conversation.
And I think with the little caveat, I'm glad that you said that, Michelle. Of course we want to, I think as all humans, we want to set ourselves free. And when I say that freedom is my thing in life, it's like my deepest desire. It's freedom from, you know, the clinging mind, freedom from all of the stories and the negativity that my mind might say, freedom to actually be exactly who I am unapologetically and be okay with that. And be okay that other people might not be okay with that. So I think what's different about this for me, and I think it's very interesting as we all, as I said, I think to begin the show, that we all have situations in our lives that we need to forgive other people and that we need to move on and we need to let go and we need to not be holding on to all of the anger and the resentment. And I think you and I were talking earlier, we were talking with one of our work colleagues. There's that old saying that I think they used to attribute it to the Buddha, you know, not forgiving is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. Like, that's how toxic it is for you when you're harboring all those feelings of negativity and anger and resentment. So in my practice, I've always kind of held on to that, but that was probably a little bit of front and center with forgiveness, is I did not want to hold on to that toxicity. I wanted to be able to be free. I wanted to be able to set myself free. So what I've realized in this period of my life right now, having gone through this divorce and now coming out the other side, is I don't want to feel the pressure of anything. I want to be able to feel my feelings deeply and start to understand how I'm going to be and what I'm going to feel as I come out the other side of the feelings. So what's happened for me is I actually am honoring myself, probably for the first time in my entire life, of saying, I'm not ready to forgive. It's not that I won't ever forgive. It's not that I don't think that it's very important to forgive. But in this very moment in my life, I just came back from a 30-day, in March, a 30-day retreat. And I was feeling these feelings and I started to feel guilty about it. Like, oh my gosh, Barbara, you have to forgive. You're on a spiritual path and you've been practicing all these things for 40 years. And the other part of me, the voice inside of me would say, Barbara, be gentle with yourself. You're not ready. This was 33 and a half years and a lot of toxic stuff went down. A lot of feelings, a lot of just everything. And so it's not that I'm not happy to be free of the personal relationship of my ex-husband, but I'm not ready to move into now, okay, forgiveness. Now let's just get on with my life. I really want to unpack my feelings. And so I've decided that yes, forgiveness is there. So here's where I am. And I think I want to just set the stage just a little bit of, you know, throughout this year, I think Michelle and I've said, we're going to share a lot of our personal stuff because this has been a really difficult year, but it's also, we're in a place of the experiences that we feel called to share a lot of them with you. So yep. I just want to set the stage though of, I think all of you through listening to the podcast know that I've had a difficult childhood, very difficult childhood. I was sexually abused as a child. Both of my parents were alcoholics. It was just a really, really hard childhood. And so I never ever felt really like a child. I felt I went from age 3 as an adult onwards. And so as I've gone through my recovery and bulimia and all the things that we've talked about on the show and that I've been through, forgiveness has always been front and center. How do I let go of these feelings? How do I move on with my life? And it's been a great process, and it's been a process of not forcing myself to feel something that I don't feel in this present moment. So when I talk about the sexual abuse as a child, that was a long process. And it wasn't until decades and decades later that I actually could feel that I'm ready to move on. Or that I don't have the lingering feelings of anger or resentment or guilt or shame. And as I now look at my life at 67 years old, going through this divorce, I'm thinking, I want to own all the feelings that I have. And I say all of this with the caveat, we are entitled to own who we are unapologetically, and we're entitled to own our feelings. And all of this is, of course, not at the expense or harm of other people. So when Michelle and I talk about all these things, we're not talking about, hey, you have full rein to just go do whatever you feel like doing. Of course, it can't involve harming others. But we also can't harm ourselves in the process. And I think as I've thought about this, going through this divorce, I've thought, oh my gosh, I have so much anger. I have so much irritability. I have so much resentment. I have so much, I don't know, just a lot of rage sometimes with some of the things that happened. And what I realized in this 30-day retreat, and what I've really been talking about, and why I told Michelle I wasn't ready for this, is I realize I'm not ready to forgive. And of course, I do know, and we talk about this often, that forgiveness does not mean forgetting. And forgiveness does not mean that that person is ever going to be in my life again. It doesn't mean that all the things that happened are okay all of a sudden and that I'm good to go. It means that forgiveness for me means that I can move on, work through all the feelings that I have, and wish the person well, period. Not have coffee with them again, not have them back into my life, not be friends again, not have any kind of social, not have any kind of relationship whatsoever, but just that I don't harbor any more ill will and that I wish you well. And so I'm not at that point. And so I thought, why am I pressuring myself to get to that point?
Well, because that last piece, I think, is the hardest part to get to.
Yeah.
Wishing them well.
And having no more ill will.
Yeah, that's a big leap.
It is a big leap. And so I'm glad you just said that, Michelle, because that's where we find ourselves today. And that's why I love talking about this right now today, that I can be honest with all of you and say, I'm not ready for that. I still harbor ill will. I still am resentful. I still have some anger. I still have just a lot of irritability and And I would have to say actually some thoughts, but you know, what took me so long? You know, so some guilt there of my own or some, hey, what was the matter with you? So I love where I am in my life right now with this forgiveness piece, because now I'm in the process of how do I actually set myself free? And so forgiveness of my ex-husband in this whole process will mean that I'm actually free when the ill will has been worked through, when my feelings have been worked through, and I'm at peace. I'm at ease with it. I'm at ease knowing that I have no more ill will and that I'm good with my boundaries. I'm good with how I feel. I'm good with what I want in my life, and I'm moving forward. And so in not being ready to forgive, so in my mind, it's three buckets. You're either ready to forgive. And I think these are some of the things that you and I have taught in our workshops and in our talks before, in our writings as well. You know, either be ready to forgive. And I think we've often said, it's okay if you're not ready to forgive. Just the intention to forgive is a huge leap, is a huge step.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even ready for that.
Yeah.
I got to, so I'm sitting with myself and I'm trying to sort this out and I'm thinking, and I'm not ready to forgive. And I'm not even in the bucket of intending to forgive, having the intention to forgive, because I'm not ready.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody can feel this, that if you're not ready, there's nothing wrong with not being ready. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to put pressure on yourself to get there. You will get there. I believe we will all get there eventually. So not putting pressure on ourselves to forgive. I think the pressure is what blocks us from being able to forgive or being able to intend to forgive. So I'm in the third bucket. I've created a third bucket with the help of a friend, and that's having the possibility to forgive. In asking myself, is there a possibility that I would be open to forgive? And the answer is yes. I always want to have my possibility open, my heart open, my life open, my sense of experiences in life open. I don't want to be closed up. I don't want to be so set that no, there's never any possibility. Mm-hmm. So that idea of the possibility has brought me a lot of freedom, and it's brought me a lot of joy. It's taken the pressure off, and I actually can feel myself kind of a little bit moving ever so slowly to the intending to forgive bucket, if that makes any sense. And I think the greatest thing I want to share is it's because I've been kind and loving and gentle and having no judgment and no comparison and no trying to fix anything. I'm actually just allowing myself to be with whatever I'm experiencing or feeling in this moment. And I think taking the pressure off has been tremendous.
That's a lot.
I know it's a lot.
And
because let me just add something. Because what happens if you feel like you can't?
What do you mean?
Like, what happens if you just feel like you can't forgive? Think of the pressure that puts on yourself if you just can't and you feel like you have to. Like it's a black and white situation. It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
I either have to forgive or I can't. So I'm offering what is helping me so much with this situation with my ex-husband. I'm offering another alternative of allowing yourself the opportunity to get comfortable with the fact that maybe there's the possibility that you can forgive, and you can allow yourself the grace to move through this at the speed of which you feel you need to. And as you always talk about, Michelle, trusting your timing in life.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of thoughts about that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off before.
No, it's okay. It's good. Now let's take a quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Okay, so you've laid out a lot of things for all of us to digest and to think about. And there's a lot I want to circle back on. First, I think it's really interesting that, you know, you were saying that throughout, you started as a child, and then at age 3, you became adult, and you had to just push through and power through and, you know, kind of manage life and its challenges, and seemingly never really giving yourself the opportunity to feel the feelings and even allow yourself to be angry or upset
or scared,
anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for a lot of us. I could definitely relate to that. And I think a lot of women or, well, anyone, but I think women aren't often given the permission to be angry, or even rageful or put out by life. You know, we're often always just told to keep it moving, sweep everything under the rug, you know, act like everything's okay, get over it. You know, you're making everything complicated because you still have feelings about this. Get over it. And I find it really interesting that we're in a place in our world and society where, you know, we see a lot of examples of women with anger and rage, and just how much when they express those feelings, we don't allow it or respond well to it. And kind of taking this in that way has really allowed me a deeper level of self-understanding, because I recently had a session with like a healer of sorts. And she said to me, you never allowed yourself to be angry for things that have happened to you in your past, and you need to be angry. And in my first reaction to that, I was like, no, I'm angry and I've worked through it and I'm good. Everything's fine. But I realized again, that's just kind of our internal programming to appease everybody or to be easier to be around, to push everything under the rug and act like everything is okay because you don't want to come off as angry or rageful. And it was fascinating to me, even the talking about being open to the possibility of things, in your case, the possibility of forgiveness. It was interesting for me to even be open to the possibility of being angry and what that looks like, because I don't think I've ever actually let myself be angry to the degree of not caring what anybody else thinks about it. And in this particular instance, for me in my life, it's like, even though I was angry at this particular person or hurt by this particular person, I still coddled that person and cared about their feelings to a degree that kind of put me out of my own. And I think that's a really common tendency for a lot of us to caretake and make everything okay. And people, I think it's another degree of people pleasing of, yeah, I may be hurt and traumatized and all of the things, but I'm still going to show up and care for you, even if you're the person who hurt me. So I say all that to say that it's really cool to be having a conversation about the possibility of being angry without the counter argument of forgiveness, because you can just let yourself feel that feeling without having a caveat to it.
I think that's so beautifully said, Michelle. It really can be in every aspect of like the giving yourself possibility, because when you shut down any possibility of feelings, I think it's a recipe for disaster for our lives. I think it's a health issue. It's a health disaster. I think it's mentally, physically, emotionally. We have to be able to feel our feelings, and it doesn't mean that we're going to feel our feelings and act on the rage. See, I believe strongly that the reason there's so much road rage or so much rage and anger out there where people are actually hurting other people is because they haven't processed whatever it was they were feeling to begin with. They've been shut down or they've not been allowed to process their feelings. And I think the whole point of sitting with my anger or sitting with my rage or sitting with my disappointment, sitting with my irritability, all of the feelings that I've been feeling, it's been so fabulous for me to just be with them and then have someone to talk to about them, namely you, Michelle, and, you know, another friend that I have. So it's good to be able to have another human that you could process it with that's not going to judge you or abandon you or make you feel bad or tell you you can't do that, because just being able to feel the feelings, it releases like 80%. And that's why I can feel myself ever so slowly inching that way. And so I'm so happy that you said that, but I just wanted to add, I've talked about this several times on the episodes. What happened to me when I was 3 years old is this, why I feel like I became an adult at three. I was 3 years old and my sister was a year and a half. I'm a year and a half older than she is. She was still in a crib and I was in a bed in her room. I was in a regular bed, like a little three-year-old bed, and she was in a crib and we were sleeping and I woke up and my sister was crying. And so I woke up and went out of the bedroom to go find my parents and I couldn't find them. They were nowhere to be found. And so I went back in the bedroom to try to get my sister out of the crib because she was crying. And I couldn't, because I'm three and I couldn't lift her. So I was hysterical. So I went running through the house. Mommy and daddy, where are you? Mommy and daddy, where are you? So couldn't find them in the house. So I went outside running up and down the street in the neighborhood. Mommy and daddy, where are you? And someone, I don't quite remember the exact person that actually heard me, came out and took me to the neighbor's house where my parents were. And, you know, I think we were sleeping and they thought it would be fine to walk down the street and go, you know, be with some friends and talk and watch a movie or play cards or whatever they were doing. And in that moment, when I saw my parents, they were angry with me. I remember my mom and my dad both saying, what's the matter? We're right here. What's the matter? Calm down. Stop crying. There's nothing wrong. We're right here. And so I remember we walked back to the house. I went to bed. But in that moment, my feelings got shut down. Not only did my feelings get shut down, I realized, wow, there was something wrong. I could feel something was wrong. They weren't here. But I was wrong. Like it was like almost like today we would call it a manipulation or a gaslighting. Like nothing's wrong. What's the matter with you? Nothing's wrong. Everything is fine. But I remember going to sleep and seeing my sister and she was still crying and she was still upset and they were coming in to calm her down. I remember thinking, wow, we're in this alone. We're in this together. So it's kind of a weird story. I know.
Oh, it's really a sad story.
It is a sad story, but I mean, I got the feeling in that moment that I needed to survive and take care of myself. And actually, in that moment, felt like I had to take care of my sister as well. And I share all of that mostly because I've talked about it a little bit. It really shifted the course, I think, of my being. But also that when our feelings are shut down like that, look what happened. I turned into a person that felt like she wasn't a child and couldn't have fun and enjoy life. I had to constantly be on guard as to be ready for whatever was going to happen next. I felt abandoned. I felt like I couldn't just relax. I could never relax. It took me decades to figure out how to relax and to just be. So when we don't feel our feelings, it can wreak, I think, a lot of havoc in our lives and in our nervous systems and in our mind. And so I'm gonna let you talk, Michelle, because I know you have a lot to say. I just wanted to say there's nothing wrong with you if you don't feel like you want to forgive in this moment, or if you feel like you can't. There's just nothing wrong with you. And just, I love when you say, Michelle, trust your timing, trust life, trust that things are going to work out, and just be who you are without harming other people. Be who you are and allow yourself to feel what's happening for you.
Yeah. I think also when you often say, you know, it takes what it takes, that's also really helpful when it comes to forgiveness, because it does take what it takes. And another thing that came up that was interesting, especially while you were talking, is I think a lot of people think that they're being supportive and helpful as friends or loved ones or community when they say things like this that I'm about to say when it comes to forgiveness, but it's also really not helpful. And it's like that mindset of, you're so much better than the situation. Just move on. You don't need to spend your time being upset with this person. Be free, move forward, live your life. You're amazing.
Don't waste your energy.
Stop wasting your energy. And all of that is true. Like, you are amazing. Your time is precious. But also that negates the feelings that you're feeling about a situation that's valid. And I think that's something that a lot of us are made to believe, that the time spent maybe not in forgiveness or in that limbo, I think that you're in or have been in, isn't valid and it is a waste. And it has a place in our lives too. And so I think it's important to talk about that. You're allowed to give yourself the permission to be there. I mean, obviously none of us want to live in that space forever, but you know, we say all the time to feel your feelings, even the uncomfortable ones, to accept the present moment, even if we haven't chosen it, like Eckhart Tolle says. But it's weird with forgiveness, and especially I think with women, that we don't give ourselves the permission, or as a society, don't let ourselves be in the anger and rage and in the limbo of not forgiving. We push ourselves to move forward and move past and keep it moving and act like everything's okay. And maybe it's a survival protection mechanism, but it does, you know, build up just like any other emotion that's not felt over time. And then I do think that's where things come out sideways, like you often say, Mom, with feelings in general.
And well, that's where road rage comes from, I believe.
Right. Yeah. And so I just wonder what would happen if we actually allowed ourselves to be angry and gave ourselves permission to feel rage and to not quickly move past situations in our lives that have brought us harm and hurt and pain and suffering and trauma, and let it take what it takes.
I love this, Michelle. And that's why I'm so excited to have this conversation today, because there are more than two ways to sort this out. And that's what the insight that I have and that I got in the past, I would say 30, 40, 60 days, that idea that yes, there's forget. It's like a spectrum. It's like a whole spectrum. Yes, there's forgiveness. Yes, there's intention to forgive, but also there's possibility to forgive. And I think that's what has set me free in giving me, as you said, Michelle, it's like we almost need permission to honor our emotions and feel our feelings. So, because we don't want to be stuck. I think a lot of us feel like this is the edict that's been passed down. We have to forgive and we have to move on and we're better than this. All the things that you just said. And I think if we take a little step back and just look at things for a moment, there are many other possibilities. And so I think it's the idea of what does forgiveness mean? Exactly what does that word mean? And I know you could look it up in the dictionary and it probably means, you know, letting go of feelings or anger or resentment or whatever it is that we have towards another person. But what if we looked at forgiveness as, I don't have to let the person back in my life. I don't have to have coffee with them. It really isn't even really about them anymore. They're gone. They're done. Especially if it's a heartbreaking divorce or family member or issue that's happening in life, especially if it's a longstanding, really hurtful friendship, family situation, it's very, very hard. And we can't see past the idea of how am I going to live without allowing them back in my life? And if I forgive them, then I have to allow them back in my life. It's kind of that vicious little circle or that wheel.
Is that true?
No, that's my point. I think we get stuck there. Okay, this is a family member. How do I forgive them for what they did to me? Because the feelings are so constant for one, but they're also so dramatic. And then if I do forgive them, because I know it's I'm suffering as a result of constantly ruminating about what they've done to me or how I feel instead of actually feeling my feelings. I'm ruminating about how I feel. And if I do forgive them, then I have to let them back in my life. Or especially if it's a family member or somebody, we can't see any other way. I think so many people say this to me. And I was trying to sort this out myself because we live in the same town. We have a lot of the same friends and all of that stuff, my ex-husband and I. So it's like, how do we sort this out? And I think the epiphany and the insight came to me that forgiveness is for me. Forgiveness sets me free of the entanglement, of the emotions and the feelings that I'm feeling because I'm working through them, of the societal pressure of whatever it is that people think has to happen as a result of moving forward. Like you said, you're better than this. Stop wasting your energy on it. And there is the possibility of forgiveness, which means setting myself free, and it has nothing to do with the other person. And I wish them well and move on. End of the story.
Yeah, but I also think that there's something to be said about the timeline with which we expect forgiveness or expect people to forgive.
Absolutely.
And it's like even minor things, you know, you could yell at me and then come up and say, I'm sorry, do you forgive me? And expect forgiveness. And, you know, with minor things, it's probably not that's reasonable, but you're not even allowing time or space for the situation to be processed or for emotions to be felt. And I think with major things like what you're talking about with a divorce or family trauma or dysfunction, it's like, yeah, I could get there eventually, but I'm going to need to process everything. I need to feel what I'm feeling. I need to actually see where I'm at with this whole situation and see what I need to do, where I need to go, what I need to say, how I need to process it all. And then we'll get there. It's like we leap over all of these steps of healing to say, okay, forgive and forget and move on. And we cut off all of these opportunities for actual reflection and true healing. And I think that's where the conversation around forgiveness could live, where it's okay, what is this situation actually bringing up for me?
What do I actually feel? What do I need to say? What do I need to do? Do I need to set boundaries because this person's asking me to forgive? But you know, I just need some space. And I had a situation where something happened. A friend, you know, did something that was kind of hurtful to me and immediately wanted to talk it out. And they realized they had hurt me, but they just wanted to fix it immediately. And I kept saying, I need space, but they didn't want to give me space. And in that moment, all I needed was just time to reflect, to see what I actually felt and what I actually thought and what I needed to say and do. And again, we're always so quick to move past and brush underneath the rug and appear okay so that we're not a problem or we're not inconvenient to other people. But I think there's a lot of value and importance in that space that we push past.
I love it. Absolutely, Michelle. I think this is the crux, and this is why I didn't want to have this conversation a couple years ago when we started the podcast, because I just didn't know what to say. And this, all these gems today, all this life experience today, all this, I believe, kind of new way of looking at forgiveness and relationships and life in general, like how can we learn to start taking the pause or giving ourselves just a little bit of space so we can actually check in with ourselves and see how we're feeling? Like, what do we really want? What are we really feeling? What is happening? I'm asking myself all the time, what's happening for you in this moment, Barb? And I think, you know, so many people have asked me, Barb, how do you move forward at 67 years old after a 33-year marriage? And in the early days when I was going through the divorce and we were separated and it was just so traumatic and so much, people would ask me that too. Like, how do you think you're ever going to move forward? How do you think you're ever, like, almost in a way of, you know, trying to help, but it was, as Michelle was saying, it was kind of like, I don't know. I'm working on it. I'm putting all the pieces together. And so it was like a lot of pressure internally I was putting on myself, but also I think, you know, people love me and they were worried about me. So it's this whole idea of how do you move forward after a 33-year marriage and you're 67 years old? Like this. It looks like this. It looks like taking a pause and saying, wait a minute, how am I feeling? Is there a cookie cutter way of moving through life? No. Do I have to forgive this person right now? No. Do I want to forgive this person right now? No. Do I want to intend to forgive this person right now? No. Am I open to the possibility of forgiveness of this person? Absolutely. And it has offered me so much freedom just to move into that bucket of possibility. Not only freedom, but now it's allowed me, as you said so beautifully, Michelle, to actually feel my feelings. What am I raging about inside? What am I angry about? What am I feeling guilty about? What am I feeling shame about? What am I feeling stupid about? All these words that I'm calling myself from time to time over the past few years, what's actually happening for me? And it's giving me, I think what you were saying, Michelle, that little bit of grace and that little bit of space and kindness without judgment, without comparing myself to society and everybody else, it's given me a sense of freedom that is moving me in the direction of where I want to be in my life. And that's feeling free, but it's also feeling joy and happiness and okay with what is in the present moment.
I love that. Let's take another quick break. And we're back. So I think what's really great about this conversation too is it opens up to a lot of other parts of life, just the being open to the possibility of anything in life that we don't want to do or we don't want to feel or we don't want to face. It's like, I might not like it right now. I might not want to do it right now, but am I open to the possibility of it happening? And I think a lot of times it's yes, right?
Well, I also think yes, but I also think this is so nuanced too. I just love it so much. I also think what where the freedom or where the ease comes is it isn't even the possibility anymore. Now that I'm thinking about it even deeper, it's like, I have a choice. Mm-hmm. How often do we go into life feeling like we don't have a choice?
Right.
How often do we feel like, oh my gosh, this is what I have to do, even though I don't want to do it. So thinking about a possibility or thinking about some other way, thinking about giving myself space, like you were saying, Michelle, giving yourself space when the person wanted you to forgive them right away. It's not that you're not going to, but honoring yourself in that moment. I'm not ready. And so I think whenever we feel like we have a choice and that we've chosen, for me, I feel ease. I feel like I can breathe. Mm-hmm. I feel like, okay, wait a minute. I do matter here. My feelings do matter. My life matters. So what do I want to choose here? And so just choosing not to forgive in this moment was a big relief mm-hmm. for me.
And it's the choice.
It's the choice. Because isn't that where what freedom feels like?
Yeah.
And it's so hard when we don't have control over much in life. We have zero control over anything that's happening in the outside world, other people, places, and things. We have no control over any of that. We don't know what life's going to bring our way. I didn't think I'd be divorced at 67 years old, but we have 100% control and we have total choice in how we're going to respond. And I think if we're being forced by putting pressure on ourselves and letting society or others tell us that this is the only way that we can be happy, or this is the only way to move forward in life, we feel then at the mercy of, and we feel like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Why can't I? Everyone else seems to be able to do this, but I can't. And we have all this judgment and all these comparisons. And then we go about, instead of working through the feelings and getting to forgiveness, we go about trying to fix ourselves. Okay, what's wrong with me? How can I fix myself? How can I shake this off? How can I just be like everybody else? They seem to be able to handle all this really well. And especially, I think, giving yourself some grace if you're someone who's on some kind of a spiritual path or a life path or a wellness path, or I don't even know
healing
path or whatever. There's so many words too. The process of learning and becoming the greatest version of who we are already from the inside out. So I think there's a lot here of undoing, unlearning, unbelieving all these things that are set in stone as truth, and really coming to our own truth of sometimes we need time. Sometimes we need space.
And that's okay. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that is, and I think that's why you opened the show up today with that this would probably be a two-parter, because I think next week I'm really excited to talk about how do we actually do this? Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you and I have done? What are some of the steps that I've taken? What are some of the takeaways that you always talk about on the show? What are some of the takeaways as to how you even start to begin this process? And I want to share all of that.
I'm excited for you to share all of that.
But I think the thing I want to share the most today is there's nothing wrong with you if you don't feel like you want to forgive right now or ever. I mean, I think, you know, our life is our life. No one has the power to name who we are or tell us what to do, actually. And remember, all of this is not at the harm of others. So if we're not harming others, let's stop harming ourselves and thinking that we have to abide by or agree to some set of standards that, you know, I don't know where all this came down, but if it doesn't work for you in this moment, it doesn't work, and that's okay. You still matter. You're still loved. You're still worthy. It's the most important thing you can do is to honor yourself in the moment, because I can tell you, honoring yourself in the moment is going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah. And letting yourself be okay with your feelings and where you're at, and not trying to change or push past it. It's really interesting to see the possibility, being open to the possibility of living life from that place and what would happen when we do that.
I think too, Michelle, with the idea of possibility, what it's done for me, and I was talking with a friend about this as well, is I never want to feel like I'm closing myself off.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel like I'm open and receptive to life. I'm open and receptive with my boundaries, with my feelings and with the things that I want to do with my life and stuff. It's just not an open book and just willy-nilly going about life and allowing, you know, people to say and do whatever they want. You know, certainly being mindful and having discernment and making choices, but I never want to feel like I have to close myself off to something just because I don't know what to do or I can't align myself with what the rules or what society is saying has to happen. So I just need to shut down and pretend, or I just need to be, you know, whatever it is they think I need to be, but actually on the inside, I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's where the word possibility was and kind of like an anchor for me, but also, a shining light for me is it still keeps me open, keeps my heart open.
I love that.
I don't want my heart closed off to life, closed off to love, closed off to friendship, family, joy, happiness, success, all the things that we want in life. And I don't want my mind closed off to it. So I think this bucket of possibility has been very helpful for me. It's kept me open and it's actually helped me navigate through the feelings and the emotions and moving in a direction in my life that feels good. It feels ease. It has not been as difficult as I thought it would be because I'm honoring myself.
I love that. And I'm so happy that you pushed this conversation aside until for a time where we could have this conversation about forgiveness and not just our typical one that we would say. Because I think, or I hope that it's been helpful to people, because even having this conversation for me, I've realized a lot of what I've not let myself do because I've leapt to just the forgiveness place. And so for anyone who's struggling with this concept or this topic, or just feeling angry and feeling like you're being pushed to move on, I hope that you can let yourself feel your feelings and not be ashamed of where you are, because it always takes what it takes, and you're allowed to have your feelings and you're allowed to heal at your own pace. And so next week we'll talk about more of what this looks like.
Steps on how to get there and the process. And you know, it's an ongoing process. And I think I just love you so much, Michelle. And I love this community.
Love you too, Mom.
That we have here. It's so wonderful to be able to be vulnerable and be able to share our life experiences. Because I know our greatest mission is to share whatever we can to help others have the ease and the success and the happiness in life that we all seek and that we all desire. So I would just leave it at this. If this is the first time you're hearing, you know, things like this or about forgiveness, just remembering that I think the biggest misnomer that people have about forgiveness is that you have to forget, is that you have to be wiped clean of all the trauma or all the things that happened. Like you have to get to a place of, oh, it's okay that that happened to me, because look where I am today, or that it's a blessing, or whatever it is that is being said to you in your mind. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean the person comes back into your life ever if you don't want that to happen. Forgiveness actually sets yourself free in a sense of you then decide what you're going to allow in your life and what you're not. So forgiveness does not mean forgetting.
Yep. And forgiveness is not something that has to happen right away. She's just both,
yeah.
She's like,
well, no,
yeah.
I think in most instances it can't.
But I'm just saying, give yourself the space and the grace.
Yeah, we're all
to process at your own pace. Wow.
One of the great things you always say is we're all unique. We're all unique human beings, and that's what makes us so special.
Yeah,
so special. Mm-hmm. Is that we are unique, and allow your uniqueness and allow whatever it is that you're feeling whatever it is you're being called to do in this moment to be okay. Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong with you. If your neighbor was able to forgive something and you're not, or whatever right. it is that we tell ourselves. So
I love it. And I'm so glad that you shared all of this with me and with us today, because I think it's a really important conversation and I can't wait for next week's continuation.
Stay tuned.
Thank you, Mom. And thank you everyone for listening. I hope this was helpful. I'd love to hear your thoughts about this. If you have any questions, thoughts, ideas about the topic of forgiveness, or even what else you'd want to hear more about it, let us know so that we can make sure we answer it in next week's show, since it'll be a part two of this conversation. The best way to do so is making sure that you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. Send us a message and we will make sure to connect with you. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date on each new episode and you never miss a show. Lastly, if you haven't yet, make sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review if you can. That would be so helpful to us and we always greatly appreciate it when you take a second to do so. Lastly, make sure that you are subscribed to our newsletter via the link in our show notes so that you are up to date on all things Barb Knows Best, all things me, all things Barb, all things Charlotte, all the things. That is where you can do so. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom, always for being such a bright light in our world. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.